Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 70 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Welcome to 2021. I hope everybody had a happy new year. I'm ready for, you know, a better 2021 for sure. This is my first show of 2021, so we're ready to get started on the right foot. For those that are new to the show, maybe your New Year's resolution was to start getting into rugby, and you're giving the DNVR Rugby Podcast a shot. Welcome. The way we start the show every week is by jumping into the breakdown. The breakdown is the weekly aggregate of news. We start locally, we move globally. And the first big piece of news I wanted to talk about is probably the biggest thing I saw floating around during the holiday break. And that is that Rugby United New York has had some ownership changes. So Matt McCarthy of Rugby Wrap-Up broke this story. He blasted it out there. I believe it was on Monday, right around the same time that John Elway was announcing that he's stepping up, he's failing upwards into the Broncos organization. So that's kind of dropped all at the same time. So if you like rugby, you're into rugby, you might have missed that news if you're also a Broncos fan. But he did a lot of good content on it. He wrote an article on it, put out some videos on it, and I'll go ahead and read you some of the stuff that he published out there on Monday. So he said, "This is big news. Here's the club statement. Quote, Rugby United New York is bringing in the new year with changes to its ownership structure. Bolton Equities has become the majority shareholder by purchasing 100% of shareholding of Farnay Group, owned by James Kennedy. James Kennedy has announced his resignation from the Rugby United New York board as well as the MLR board effective January 1st, 2021. Guy Bolton will remain chairman of Rugby United New York board and represent Rugby United on the MLR board." End quote. Guy Bolton's statement, quote, 2021 is a year of opportunity for Rugby United New York with our changed governance, a dedicated and talented squad of players, coaches, and front office team. Rugby United New York is ready to take the organization to the next level. We all can't wait to get stuck into the 2021 season, no matter what is thrown our direction. Rugby United New York would like to thank James Kennedy for all he has done to get the club to where it is today, end quote. I don't know James Kennedy at all. I've never met him, never talked to him. But I know he's a massive part of the reason that professional rugby exists in the United States today. Sounds like he was doing a lot of work to, you know, make Rugby United New York a thing, you know, and get the MLR to where it is today. So I'm interested in the reasoning, but I'm sure that will all come out in due time. Everyone has their reasons for doing things. So that's kind of the first big piece of news I wanted to touch on the breakdown. Second big piece of news I saw is another piece of ownership news, and it was surrounding the Sharks of South Africa Super Rugby. And something that I have been, you know, noticing for a while, I've seen that the Sharks were for sale for a few months, and according to South Africa Rugby Mag, an American ownership group has purchased the controlling shares of the Sharks for around $6 million, I believe the number was. So obviously when I see the Sharks are for sale for a while, I see an American ownership group has taken the initiative and bought the Sharks. It's kind of perks my ears up. So it is crazy to think about when you look at $6 million as the price in comparison to some of these numbers we get seen thrown around the NFL and MLB and all that stuff. NBA, like bench players are making $12 million a year or whatever in the NBA. So we looked, Patrick Mahomes signed a $500 million deal last summer. The Cowboys are valued at $5.5 billion with a B, according to Forbes. The Broncos, in that same Forbes article, are valued at $3 billion. So relatively speaking, $6 million is not that much, you know, looking at all this stuff. But it kind of shows how far rugby still has to go. But it also shows there's legitimate interest from American, you know, businessmen, sports people. And that's kind of a cool thing to see. So I'll go ahead and read you like half of this article. In a move designed to bolster the Sharks' ambitions of becoming a global force in world rugby, the KwaZulu-Natal franchise has welcomed a dynamic new investor as their majority partner, a statement read. MBM Holdings, an international investment consortium spearheaded by Marco Mazzotti, has entered into an agreement to purchase a 51% majority stake in the Sharks. The current shareholders, the KwaZulu-Natal Rugby Union and Supersport International, will hold the remaining 49% of the franchise. The financial terms of the transaction are confidential. In addition to Mazzotti, the members of the consortium include Vincent May, chairman and CEO of Cranemere LLC, Mark Lazary, founder of Avenue Capital and owner of the NBA Milwaukee Bucks team, Doug Sifu, CEO of Virtu Financial Incorporated and owner of the National Hockey League's Florida Panthers, Robert D. Haswell, founding partner of Dominus Capital, Dominic Sylvester, CEO of Instar Group Limited, and Michael Yormark, president of Roc Nation Sports International. Roc Nation will assist with the global expansion of the Sharks brand. So obviously some huge names in there, some, you know, really recognizable names like the Milwaukee Bucks and the Florida Panthers. And for those that don't know Roc Nation, that's Jay-Z sports agency, you know, company. So obviously some big stuff. I think the Roc Nation will assist with the global expansion of the Sharks brand. It's pretty interesting. So this could be something that we are just seeing, you know, the very beginnings of, and could see some, they're trying to turn the Sharks into the Yankees or the Lakers or the Cowboys, for instance. And so like I mentioned before, it's kind of cool to see, you know, American people throw some big money around, especially for a franchise as iconic as the Sharks, to me at least. Like, I know the Sharks. When I see the Sharks logo, I recognize the Sharks logo. I know I'm a little different being, you know, a rugby guy, but it's just something I thought was interesting, something for sure to keep an eye on. It kind of just shows, you know, rugby's kind of moving up the hierarchy. People are seeing this as a legitimate, like, business venture, and that's kind of cool. So that's the second big piece of news I wanted to talk about. And I guess I'll take a little interjection here, just talk about how hard it is to read aloud. It sounds weird, but it's like I read this so many times in my head and it just doesn't come out of my mouth right. And I know just like reading ad copy and stuff, I bet a lot of people say the same thing. So don't come for me. I swear I can read. Just hard to read aloud sometimes. So the last little bit of piece of news I wanted to talk about before we jump into the interview with Sean Clark, and before we talk about the rugby you can watch this weekend, of course, to wrap up the breakdown, something that was stumbled across in the MLR Fan Zone Facebook group. So for those that don't know, group's operated by Ty Braga and the fine folks at the Rugby Fan Zone, that podcast. Make sure you go check that out. Record every Wednesday, post it in the fan groups all over Facebook. But I know someone posted an article regarding the Crossover Academy, threw a comment on there, said I had, you know, made a bunch of content, published the podcast, got to promote the podcast, got to promote some of the written stuff I've been doing, grow the brand, of course. But as a result, you know, people are giving their opinion, commenting all this different stuff on the camp, on the program, all that stuff. I was getting notified about all of it, obviously, because I threw my name into the ring when I made the comment. And I just thought it was interesting to see some of these comments that people were making about, you know, what they thought about the program. And I was honestly like pretty surprised to see how many people were against the idea, shooting the idea down. I just am confused, like, why isn't that good for rugby as a whole? But like I said, I'm genuinely curious as to what people have to say about this whole, you know, program, this whole situation. Always looking to hear from anyone and everyone regarding this stuff. And seriously, if anybody has any questions, anything you want to know about what's going on, about any aspect of the program, let me know, and I promise I can either answer it or I can find someone way smarter than me who knows the answer to that question. So send them my way. But it was kind of cool to be a fly on the wall. It's kind of cool people see people learning about the program. And like I said, I'm always here as a resource. If anyone wants to know, that's literally, you know, my job is to cover this rugby program, you know, cover rugby here in Colorado. And I'll do my best to get people the information they're looking for. So let me know. Send me a DM. Get in touch with me. Like I said, you can always get in touch with me on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby, at Colton Strickler. If anyone, you know, wants to know anything about the program, just don't be afraid. Shoot me a tweet, shoot me a DM, whatever. We'll get your questions answered. So, and of course, we'll be talking a little bit more about the Crossover Academy as things will get rolling here next week. Talked a little bit about Sean, and then I'll, of course, go over it in the loop. So close out the breakdown with all the rugby you can watch this weekend. So we've got a couple fixtures for Premiership. We've got Bath versus Wasps on Friday at 12:45 p.m. Sale versus Worcester on Friday at 1 p.m. Newcastle versus Gloucester on Saturday at 7 a.m. Exeter versus Bristol on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. We've got Harlequins versus London Irish at 8 a.m. on Sunday. You can watch those matches on Peacock, of course. And, of course, all of those times are in Mountain Time. So you can sprinkle in a little bit of rugby. Get your super wild card weekend or whatever they're calling it on the NFL channels. Started with a little bit of rugby on Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, and, of course, Sunday morning. Get those matches in before the football games start. And then just got two Guinness Pro 14 matches that you can watch this weekend. Got Glasgow Warriors versus Edinburgh tomorrow at 12:35 p.m., and then Zebra versus Benetton on Saturday at 6 a.m., and of course, you can watch both of those matches on ESPN+. Plus. Either catch them live or catch them after. Same thing with Peacock. You can go back and rewatch that stuff. So that does it for the breakdown this week. Like I said, a lot of stuff that caught my eye and a lot of things I wanted to mention. And yeah, so that's it for the breakdown. We'll go ahead and jump into the interview portion of the show now. Had a good conversation with former Monmouth tight end Sean Clark about his transition to rugby from football. I'm looking forward to everyone checking that out. A little bit of background on Sean. He's a tall fella, as you'll come to learn in the conversation. Sean is 6'8", played tight end at Monmouth, like I just said. Had a workout with the Indianapolis Colts leading up to the 2020 NFL season. Was playing in the spring league. I think that's how, you know, he talks about how that's how the Crossover Academy found him. It's been pretty well documented. I've tried to at least well document it, the relationship between the Crossover Academy and the Spring League. Yeah, and he's just that just goes to show the type of guy Glendale's going after to build this team. They're going after elite athletes. They're going after guys that just narrowly missed out on the NFL, guys that are still trying to get into the NFL. And that's kind of something I wanted to talk about, something I talked to Sean about after I shut the recording off, which is a rookie move by me. Got to leave the recording running, but a lot of these programs or these players that make up this program, they're trying to still play football. This is another avenue for them to stay in shape, learn a new sport. Obviously, anyone that's ever played rugby, you know, you learn a lot of different skill sets. So I'm sure Sean will brush up on his tackling. It just turns you into an all-around better athlete. You develop new strengths. It's obviously a great way to stay in shape with the cardio and all that stuff. So, and this is something that it is a fluid pro. This program is very fluid. And if you listen to the show I did with the director of rugby, Mark Bullock, back in September, whenever it was, when he kind of announced the program, he talked about, you know, if other opportunities arise, whether that be in the NFL, in the NBA, you know, because these that's their ultimate goal, right, is these guys want to get to the peak of their sport. They're going to let them go, right? Like, that's the whole point of this thing is they're going to let them go. They're going to let them chase their dream. If rugby becomes their dream, that's obviously, you know, better for everyone, but they're not going to stop them out the door if they want to go back to the NFL. And, you know, why would you? How could you ever do that? So this is kind of like a unique situation because the program is so fluid, and I have no doubt in my mind that some of these guys will make it to the NFL. And that obviously adds validity to the program itself, right? If they come here, they train for a couple months, so they make it to the NFL, you know, that's awesome stuff to see all around. So obviously if rugby becomes the new dream, that's obviously awesome stuff, and it will help out the Team USA in the long run. But it's a fluid program. I know just talking to Peter Paske, he's recruiting year round. I would assume it's going to kind of be like a revolving door of people coming in and out, making this team. And I'm sure a lot of them will fall in love with rugby and pursue this as their new dream. So that's what I was talking about with Sean. Wanted to make sure I mentioned that. I wasn't sure how familiar people were with that. And And I guess, too, I guess I'll add on to that. Some of the other things is, like, obviously if the NFL comes, you're going to let them go. But even if an MLR team comes along and wants to scoop up these guys to go play, that they're going to let them do that as well, which is another thing I think is pretty interesting about the whole thing. So it'll be something to keep an eye on as things kind of get rolling here next week. So with that introduction, kind of a long one, got a little sidetracked there, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. We'll go ahead and kick it to my conversation with former Monmouth tight end and the newest member of the Rugby Town Crossover Academy, Sean Clark. All right, now welcome on former Monmouth tight end and the newest member of the Rugby Town Crossover Academy, Sean Clark. Sean, how's it going, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for joining me. You're my first interview of 2021, so I'm excited about the show. So, Sean, the way we start the show every time, every guest, is the easiest question of all. Is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my name's Sean Clark. I grew up in a small town, Potsdam, New York, in northern New York. It's actually in the Adirondack Mountains. And I played football my whole life, baseball, basketball. And, you know, I just kind of pursued football, you know, for my life. So,
yeah.
That's kind of where we're at now.
Very nice. Sean, so I guess kind of the elephants in the room is, can you tell people how tall you are?
So I get asked this question a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it goes with tall people, right? I'm sure all people are always bothering you about how tall you are.
Absolutely. So I usually tell people 4 foot, 32 and a half inches.
Yeah, I like that's a good answer.
But I'm 6'8".
Very nice.
I'm 6'8".
Nice. Yeah. So can you kind of take us through your football career a little bit? I know you mentioned you played basketball. I'm sure that's something else that people bring up a lot. But you played tight end, right? So can you take us, you know, through your high school career, what recruitment was like, and then we can kind of pick up from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, growing up, I actually playing football, I never played tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I was a quarterback my whole life from growing up all the way up through high school, and I played receiver for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And transitioned back to quarterback for my senior year. And I really ended up leaving my hometown of Potsdam, New York, when I was 16, my junior year. And I went to a boarding school in Massachusetts. And, you know, I was just chasing the dream. It's kind of hard, you know, where I'm from anyway, to get noticed. Just not a lot going on. So, you know, my family and I just decided that this was the best route for myself. And, you know, I pursued football that way and went to a boarding school, Cushing Academy in Massachusetts there, and played 2 years there. And I actually graduated early. I had about 6-7 offers, 5 to play quarterback, and then I had 2 to play tight end.
Uh-huh.
And Monmouth University was actually one of those. So I said, you know, if they're going to give me a full ride, and you know, that's obviously what we're here for. So
yeah,
I took the tight end offer, and I just kind of ran with it.
That's awesome. We'll get back to football, but since you mentioned you went to boarding school, what was that like? Because I'm a Denver guy. I feel like a lot of people that listen to the show are from Colorado, locals to here, and boarding schools aren't really like a thing here. I feel like that's such like a East Coast thing. So what was that like? Did you have other friends that kind of went to boarding school before you? Did you know what you were getting into when you made the decision to go there?
So yeah, that's actually a good question. I did know what boarding schools were growing up because obviously on the East Coast, as you said, we have quite a few, especially throughout New England. But hockey is really big by us, and
yeah.
A lot of my friends that played hockey would leave and go to boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they would get their careers really kickstarted. You know, you go and play against great competition. And so when they, you know, the opportunity arose for me to go to boarding school for football, it was kind of, everyone was kind of like skeptical of my decision, you know, because like, oh, it's a hockey thing, like only hockey players do that, but
right.
You know, it paid off.
So then when you went to college, was that even like that big of a change?
Not really, you know, like being at boarding school, you live with, you know, the faculty, so they live amongst you in the dorms, you know, they have 2 to 3 dorm parents or families
right.
per unit. So you are on your own in a sense. It's definitely a chance to grow and to, you know, find yourself. You know, you have kids that it's from freshman year of high school all the way through a post-grad year.
Yeah.
So there's a huge range of kids there. And, you know, it's just a great way to find yourself. You know, you're on your own. You have to, you know, somewhat fend for yourself and make, you know, adult decisions while also having some of that guidance. So,
for sure.
You know, the transition to college was definitely much easier having, you know, had that experience.
Right. Yeah, so we can get back to football now. Just made sure we squeezed in a little boarding school talk here on this rugby podcast. But so what was it like playing at Monmouth?
It was a great experience. I think early on, my first couple of years were kind of hard, you know, for me to transition. I had a tough transition, just how much, you know, work the Division One level took, you know.
Right.
You're playing high-level football, you're dedicated to football, you have to be dedicated to the classroom as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I found out that out the hard way, and, you know, I really had to straighten myself out. And once I got the classroom taken care of, I think football just became so much easier for me.
Right.
You know, not being under stress. So, you know, my last 3 years at Monmouth were, you know, the best 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
Had the best career, you know, my best year of my career, my senior year. So, you know, I played under a great coach, Jeff Gallo, who he's my tight end coach and the offensive coordinator. And, you know, he was detrimental to my, you know, my whole career. Like, without him, I would be nowhere.
Right. Yeah, that's so awesome. And I would imagine, too, switching positions, like, got to be kind of a hard thing, too, right? I feel like I've seen more tight ends. I mean, like, Logan Thomas comes to mind, right? Guy playing in the NFL,
absolutely.
Used to play quarterback, and he switched to tight end and, like, kind of revitalized his career. I would assume, like, being a quarterback, you have an idea of kind of everything that's going on, but I'm sure it's a lot different in its own right, right? Changing positions like that.
Yeah, but it was it kind of did make the transition, I guess, easier than, you know, having been, you know, a tight end getting thrown to quarterback, or, you know, you change
right.
over to defense or something. Just because as a quarterback, like you said, you understand the game. You're,
yeah.
you know, you're in control of your offense. You're in control as a leader, and, you know, you have a lot of responsibility. So switching positions, you already have, you know, a feel and understanding of what you're supposed to do at that position. And then, you know, really it just comes down to, you know, just being athletic and
right.
being able to transition into the footwork and,
yeah.
you know, the routes and just, you know, the run game fits. And
yeah, because that was going to be my next question, is like, how much did you have to change your body?
That was actually a lot.
Yeah.
When I first got to college, you know, as I said, I was a quarterback. I came in at 200 pounds, you know, so I was 6'8", you know, just a string bean.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took a chance on me. So, you know, I put on, I think, 25 pounds my freshman year, and then
Jeez.
Another 10 pounds my sophomore year. And by my junior year, I was about 240 and played my senior year and my fifth year at 245. So, you know, 45 pounds
yeah.
I gained.
Your job was to eat food, right? You just were eating all the time.
Yeah, my coach, Coach Gallo, we used to have whole pie Fridays when I was gaining weight.
Oh, gosh.
Every Friday we'd go to the dining hall, and that was my lunch. I'd do whole pie.
That sounds bad. I feel like a lot of people might think that sounds good. That sounds, like, kind of bad. I wouldn't look forward to that day, I don't think.
I know. It was tough, but I tell you what, you got to love
yeah,
pizza.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Very nice. So what happened after college? I know you had mentioned I've read on you that you worked out for the Colts. So what was that like? Like, what's your day-to-day like when you're trying to get ready for the NFL?
As soon as the season ends, after your senior year, you know, just having that time to, you know, you don't have the time to get ready, you know, in between seasons, right? You're jumping
yeah.
right into it to start training for your pro day, which is only 4 months away by the time the season ends. And so you really have, you know, 2 weeks to get your body healthy, 2-3 weeks, and by that time comes for you know, when January hits, you're right back into a full training session. You know,
yeah.
you're up every single day. You're having 2-a-days every single day, with workouts, and, you know, not only that, you're in having to have film sessions, and then you have to do yoga on the side, and just things to take care of your body. So
right,
you know, just the whole process of just leading up to the NFL, you know, just the draft alone is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a trying of your time management skills and
for
just,
sure.
you know, how committed you really are.
Right. So then, like, how did you get the invite to the Colts camp, and what was that camp like? Was Philip Rivers throwing you the ball?
No, actually. So after the draft, you know, I was expecting to be signed after the draft as a free agent.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the whole COVID thing with this going on, that pretty much hurt all of us.
For sure.
And more so the undrafted guys. So it took me up until August just to get that workout. And, you know, so we flew out there and, you know, you go through, you're there for 4 days and, you know, you have to go through a series of questions with, you know, player personnel and, you know, just, guys within the staff.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to make sure I asked this since you just mentioned it. I'm sure people have asked you this before. What was like the weirdest thing they asked you? Because I've seen some like weird questions come out of these interviews before.
Actually, I think I don't know about weird, but they asked, you know, a tough question. I think the toughest one was, what was the lowest point in your life, the weakest point in your life where you made a horrible, like the worst decision you've ever made?
Yeah.
You know, and they put you on blast.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to just like tell to a complete stranger.
Absolutely.
I didn't have any of those questions for you, Sean. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
I appreciate it, man. But
so that is an odd one. But anyways, I'm sorry to interrupt. You can continue with your story. So they're asking you all these questions over this like 4-day interview. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So basically, you know, you do a series of tests. You know, you do one day you do a test on the computer with reaction skills, and basically you're sitting in a room for an hour. And, you know, they're just testing your reaction skills, how your brain works, your reaction time, just all little things, you know, like, and then the next day you're talking to head of player development, and he's asking you everything that you've ever done, you know, just to get a feel for you. And can you be honest? Can you not be? Are you trustworthy? Are you not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to get a sense of who you are. And then, you know, you get to the actual workout and, you know, you just have to forget about everything else and just go perform. So, you know, it was a cool introduction, you know, to being a professional athlete. But,
right,
you know, there's still a lot of hard work to be done. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's so hard not to, like, get in your own head during that 4-day span, too. Probably thinking about so much stuff and analyzing so much stuff that you're talking about and doing. That's something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to ask you kind of about football is, like, since the more I've been talking to a lot of these guys that are making up this crossover team, there's a lot of you guys listed on this Draft Diamonds website. So I've done some research reading through the Draft Diamonds stuff, and, like, how do those people get a hold of you? And those questions are kind of out there to me, too.
So the Draft Diamonds guys actually come to our practice.
Okay.
They travel around. There's basically scouts. They scout players, draft eligible guys, people that run these type of accounts.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they want to get a feel for different guys, under the radar guys that they want to interview. Specifically, that's what Draft Diamonds does.
Yeah.
So, you know, they go around to these small schools and even some of the bigger schools, you know, and the less known guys.
Right.
And just kind of watch practices, and then, you know, they'll reach out towards the end of the season and, you know, for just a quick interview, and they have like the, you know, their preset questions and all that.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
They definitely put, you know, work into that job. It's not just, you know, just a questionnaire. Like,
for sure.
They do things. They take notes on people, and, you know, even the pro scouts reach out to some of these guys, you know, and
yeah,
just for some of the questionnaires.
That's interesting. I know. Cause I've seen it floating around for a while. And like I said, I've talked to so many people that are coming to make up this crossover academy. A lot of them are listed on Draft Diamonds. So I thought I'd make sure I asked you about that too. So now we can get into some rugby stuff, Sean. So how did you get recruited to the Rugby Town Crossover Academy?
So I was actually playing in the Spring League down in San Antonio here in this past fall of 2020. And I got an email actually from an account, and it was actually in my spams.
Yeah.
And so I just looked at it, and I'm like, it says Rugby Town Crossover, and then it was a guy, the manager here, Peter Pascu, who's a great dude now. And, you know, he just reached out and he said, hey, we're at your game. You know, like the way you play, and we'd really just like to sit down and have a, you know, cup of coffee and just talk to you about this opportunity we'd like to present to you.
Yeah.
You know, and being in the position that we are right now, like, you know, being a free agent and not having any sense of security, you know,
right,
and being a competitive nature, you know, you're going to take any opportunity you can get. So, you know, I kept all my options open and just kind of listened to what he had to say.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I know that you just reminded me too. I wanted to ask you about the Spring League. How'd you get hooked up with the Spring League, and what was that like playing down in San Antonio? Because I know we got I got a front row seat watching them. They had their summer camp out at the Infinity Park on the turf, so I went out and watched some of that. It looked really cool. But honestly, it's something I had seen before. Like, it's been floating around the internet. I've seen like some of the content they've put out, but it's cool to see them like operate up close and personal like that. So I was just wondering what was your experience like down there in Texas?
It was honestly a great experience. My agent actually presented the opportunity to me,
mm-hmm.
And got me, you know, the position to go down there. So, he's like, just be ready to go. You know, you've been training for months. Here's another opportunity, to showcase your talents, basically. And it's just up to me.
Right.
And, make the most and hopefully get another opportunity. So, you go down there and it was a bubble format.
Right.
With the whole COVID thing, you get tested and you're on a new team. We had a week to come together before our first game, and it was awesome because we finally got to be on national television with that. The Spring League, they signed that new deal, so that was pretty cool to be around. Even though I've played plenty of games throughout my career on TV, but to be a part of
it never gets old
like that.
It never gets cool. old playing on TV like that.
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah. So awesome. So yeah, the. Peter comes, sits, has coffee with you. What did you like think about the offer at first? Because I'm sure, I guess that kind of leads into my next question is like, did you know anything about rugby before this opportunity?
To be honest, I've probably touched a rugby once in my life.
Yeah.
It came out of my friend's toy box.
Right.
And, I knew nothing about rugby.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I know rugby's a sport and it's, pretty badass.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to swear on this. But
yeah, that's okay. You can say whatever you want. No worries.
So, I really had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
As far as, what goes into the sport, what you have to do. So like I said, I basically just listened to what he had to say.
Yeah.
And then they, he told me that they would fly me out and just let me watch and they'd talk to me and I get to talk to the staff and they'd introduce me, and just kind of tell me what they were looking to do with me, with this opportunity, what their whole, process was and reasoning. So,
very nice.
I just kept my options open and took the flight.
Yeah. So you came out for the camp then, right? And in November. So was that like at the tail end of the Spring League stuff?
Yeah. So that was after the Spring League had just got shut down. Mm-hmm. So that last week there was an outbreak. So everyone that tested positive had to stay. And then anyone that didn't, we got to leave.
Okay.
So I flew right from San Antonio right to Denver and just stayed there. They had me here for 2 days and, it was a really cool experience to get to watch the guys and just see how the game works. It's awesome, and it's awesome now. I got to experience it, so
had you been to Denver before?
No, I've never been anywhere. Texas was the furthest place I've ever.
Oh, really? Interesting. So what'd you think of the facility and stuff?
It's really nice, actually. They have a nice spot over here. They have their their workout facility, their stadium's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All the facilities inside are nice, and just this whole area around Denver is beautiful to begin with. So, it's a really great atmosphere and something that I'm excited to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously, like, this is all new to you. You're a lot of stuff coming at you really fast. You're moving. So, like, when you decided, like, this is something that you wanted to give a try, what have you done to kind of familiarize yourself with rugby? Like, have you been switching up your training at all? Have you been watching new stuff? Or, like, what has kind of your life looked like from when you decided to come to now that you're here?
To be honest, nothing really changed in my training.
Yeah.
I just kind of started running a little bit more. But, I started watching videos of the position I'm supposed to – they would like me to play and, just get a feel for the game,
Right.
What a scrum is and lineouts and things like that. So
What they're gonna have you play?
Yeah, left lock.
Nice.
I think is what they want to have me play.
Yeah,
so.
I can imagine you're not gonna lose many lineouts when they start lifting you up.
No, actually,
you can catch and you're nice and tall. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's fun, man. It's definitely something new and interesting.
Yeah, cool, man. So now that you're here, what's kind of the day to day look like for you now? I know. you got COVID tests and stuff going on, and stuff's really supposed to start get rolling next week. So, like, what kind of are you up to in these days leading up to practice?
You know, still sort of just trying to get accustomed to, you know, to the move.
Yeah.
I drove 25 hours from New York just to get here. So, you know, having to move in and
right.
be a part, start to meet some of the guys and go through the testing process. Yeah, it's really, I'm just still trying to get accustomed. I've been here for 4 days now. So,
yeah.
But it's been awesome. You know, we get up in the mornings. They start working out at, you know, we have a little group of forwards at 9.
Yeah.
Get on the field at like 10:30 with some of the coaches and just work on just little skills, you know, and just yeah. start to get prepared and familiarized before we actually get on the field.
Very nice, Sean. That's really all the questions I have for you, man. So thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. Looking forward to watching you learn the sport, and I'm really excited to see what the program does. So I'll be around, obviously. I'm looking forward to catching up with you in person here pretty soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you.
All right, I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Sean Clark. Big shout out to Sean for taking some time out of his day to come chat with me. You know, I say it every week. I'm going to keep saying it, even though it's a new year. The guests make the show. So obviously, big shout out to Sean. Thank you for taking the time. I really enjoyed the conversation. Hope everybody did as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and close the show out with the loop. So like I mentioned, the Crossover Academy starting for real next week. Real deal, Holyfield. I will cover that Crossover Academy like my life depends on it. I know I have some details about it. Obviously, I'll wait till next week until we kind of get into it. But some of the things I can't share, they're getting tested twice a week. This is a program that will run from now until probably the end of May. I know there's a lot of CFL players that are going to make up this roster. So those guys are going to go play football in Canada after this is over. It'll be interesting to see kind of the seasons they have before they played rugby, after they played rugby, and I know kind of what happens with them when the CFL season is over. Be sure to try to follow up with people on that. But obviously, that's looking way far ahead. So, you know, and then obviously as matches get scheduled, I'll be sure to let everybody know about it. Like I said, I'll cover it like my life depends on it. The best way you can keep up with us is on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. And check out all the work we're doing on thednvr.com. Like I said last week, I'm working on some special projects I'm excited about. It's taking a lot of work. I'm finally making some progress, so reaching out to the right people. And I will, you know, provide everyone a timeline update with that when I get it. But just a lot of emails, a lot of calls, a lot of reaching out. So it should be pretty cool when I'm done, though. I'm ready for a good 2021. I hope everybody is as well. So that's the show. Thank you to everyone for listening. I hope you had a good week. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll catch you all back here next week.